Good morning.
I really liked the amplified version of this last verse we heard this morning. The amplified translation goes like this. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own all the things that you have prepared?" So it is for the one who continues to store up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relationship towards God. Rich in his relationship towards God. What does it mean, you think, to be rich towards God? I have to admit that I'm taking a risk to tread on the ground on which I prepared to preach this text this morning. Not many Christian communities have the broad range of financial wealth that's found in this community. And of course, this community uses a great deal of its wealth in so many ways to expand the kingdom of God. And yet, Jesus asks, what is your North Star? What is the frame of reference for your individual life and for our common life together? What's our North Star? Is it to become fuller and wealthier in our relationships with God and Jesus Christ? Now, on the other hand, don't you teachers out there hate it when you're in the midst of this very deep topic, this lecture, and someone interjects something that seems to say they have heard nothing you said? It's just like the subject matter has gone totally over their heads and they are on the wrong page. So Jesus has been teaching about being with God and what that's like and how some people may not like it. Some people may be your friends until they find out how close you are to God. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, because God the Spirit will give wisdom and even language to rebut the detractors and the opposers. And during this teaching, a man brings up something that has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about. A distraction, to be sure. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, the man's concern isn't to be taken lightly, because many of us know that hostilities and fights after the funeral can take serious bites out of our hearts. Can they not? Jesus hears his request, but he reframes it for him. You see, the current frame the man is using for his life, whether too much money or not enough, is not adequate to define life with a capital L. And it's certainly not the life that is given to all of creation, including us, by God. And so Jesus tells this parable of the rich man, full of himself and all that he lays claim to, who needs to tear down his barn in order to build a bigger barn and lay claim to even more wealth. Money matters to Luke's Jesus, and not in the way you may think. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus uses material wealth to pose hard-hitting truths about its real value in the sight of God. In the parables of the rich man and Lazarus, the 10 talents, and the wicked tenants, Jesus is emphatic in stating that our sole reason for living is not what we have, but to become who we were created to be. Acclaimed theologian and preacher Will Willimon says that Jesus is consistently negative about possessions, but not possessions in themselves. rather how we live in response to having them. And that, my brothers and sisters, is predicated on who we really are. Our frame of reference for life must reach beyond what we think we own. What do we own? Do we really own anything? Now, some may say, I earned this. But by what means has your wealth been earned? Has not even an outstanding Ivy League education, a healthy trust fund, being in the right place at the right time, or even knowing the right people, aren't those gifts in some respect? Why you and not someone else on the other side of the world? What have you received that you have not truly earned? Is not every beat of our hearts and every breath we're taking right now, is that not gift? Our frame of reference for our lives, our North Star, must turn towards the giver of every good gift, God. Professor Willimon concludes by stating, no rich man is immune from death. And I'm reminded of a friend, Charles, who has now since long transitioned over to the other side. He was a wealthy financier. We met as trustees on a private school board in Dallas. And over a 3-year period, we got to know each other very well. We worked on several committees together. We talked about lots of things. And I learned so much from him. And he learned so much from me. We had a great relationship, a great friendship. And then in the midst of our friendship, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was already in very late stage. And after all the treatments that were done that were finally not very effective, Charles accepted the fact that he must prepare to depart. And so one day I was in his hospital room and he said to me, Frieda Marie, I don't care how much money you have. When you don't have your health, you have nothing. It was one of the last things I remember him saying to me, and I carry it still. Fortunately, though, Charles was very spiritually wealthy, as well as having great material wealth. And the way he died, his dying, his manner of dying, his death, and his funeral services were just the way he lived. They all reflected great rationality and structure and order and warmth and compassion and love for the people who were going through grieving that he had gone from us. This is the crux of the matter for us, according to our Lord. Except we live fully in life with God, we have not lived. So I might ask myself, how abundant is my relationship with God? And how do I know? Like any relationship, first things first, how much time am I spending with God? Do I spend any time beyond Sunday church? Is there any in-between time? Do I drive and conversate, as the old folks say? Do I drive and conversate with God? Do I say thank you enough for the feel of clean sheets on my bed at night? Do I say thank you for that glass of orange juice this morning? Do I say thank you for the warm water that I get to bathe in or shower in tonight? Do I take off my mask before God? You know, the one that I habitually wear everywhere I go. Do I ask the hard questions? The ones I'm afraid to ask even myself out loud. And then am I willing to listen for a reply? Do I even expect a reply?
Who is this God that I'm speaking to?
Sorry. And who am I? These are the kinds of questions that help us to move into a more intimate space of life with God. They help us put God in the center. Full and abundant life with a capital L. It's the kind of life that the Holy Scriptures calls eternal life. And it's life that starts right here and right now, if we can receive it. Some of us don't recognize God's activity in our lives because our God is so small. Such a relationship with a small God leaves us captive and without the freedom to be who we truly are and to fulfill our purpose for being on the earth in the first place. Your presence here matters. Regardless of the circumstances of our conceptions, we are not on the earth by accident. The good news is that God desires that we should all live a full, rich, abundant life in relationship with God. The life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the Christ, has made that life possible. Unlike some folks like to think that Jesus died to save us from our sins so that we could go to heaven and stay out of hell, Jesus is not a fire insurance policy. But that life, the life that God wants for us, sometimes we might resist it because, frankly, we don't want to change. We really don't. We say we do. I remember thinking one day, looking in the mirror and thinking, what is that? And what's that? Because you feel the same on the inside, but on the outside it's changing. That's life. And it goes for everything across the board. We may not want our brother to get all that inheritance, but maybe we need to change that want. And when we don't want, when we resist, we are quenching the Holy Spirit, and we're not allowing the Spirit to do the work of transformation in us. That work is moving us from ourselves as front and center of our tiny universes to God as the center of the whole universe. Oh, but if we could surrender to the Spirit of God, we would find that she is gentle, that he is a gentleman, changing us in rather gentle ways, but almost always through people or situations we most resist. Can we and will we trust such a God to do such a mighty work as to reframe our lives into God's reality? I believe we can. Jesus died so that we would have the freedom to choose. We could always say, no, God, I'm sorry, I don't want to change. And that's okay, too. It makes God sad. But oh, to be rich in our relationship towards God. Because for as long as we live, y'all, we will never, ever peak in knowing God. We will close our eyes for the last time and still not know all that there is of God, what that word really means, who that really is. I don't know about you, but I want to grow into that fuller life. I surely do. Amen.